Kisavo, I want to discuss a topic that I've discussed before. I want to add something to it. At the end of this week's Seder, we discuss, we have the brachos and the klalos, the tochacha, and the Gemara says in Megillah that ein mafsikin beklalos, that we do not interrupt in the middle of the klalos. In other words, all the klalos have to be one aliyah. In America, the custom is that the Baal Koreh gets the aliyah of the klalos. People were hesitant for no good reason to take the aliyah of the klalos. So in America, the custom developed that the Baal Koreh would get it. In Europe, they used to pay somebody to take that aliyah. So usually they took a poor person who didn't have much money, and apparently that man was smarter than everybody else. So he took the money and he took the aliyah. The Reb Chaim in Brisk, I should mention the klalos, those are the curses that will happen. I apologize, I should have explained. The brachos are the blessings that happen to the Jewish people when they observe the Torah, when they fulfill the commandments of God. The klalos are the curses or the catastrophes that overtake the Jewish people as a result of their not following the commands of God and of ignoring the Torah. So the law is, even though there are many psukim in the klalos, many psukim in the curses or in describing the catastrophe that will overtake the Jewish people when they're not committed to God, the halacha was that you could not divide up the klalos, the curses, into different aliyahs. All the curses, all the mention of all the catastrophes that will take place as a result of not listening to God and not hearkening to his words, all of these all have to be part and parcel of the same aliyah. Only one person could get that aliyah. And I mentioned there was a certain hesitancy that had no foundation in halacha, no foundation in Jewish law. In fact, I think it went against Jewish law. There was a hesitancy in taking that aliyah. And in Brisk, my great-grandfather, Reb Chaim, he couldn't take that aliyah because he was a Levi. A Levi has to get the second aliyah. But he instituted that Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger, who was the Dayan of Brisk, he should get that aliyah to demonstrate that is as much part of the Torah as any other parsha.
Didn't Reb Simcha Zelig also lane, or he also only laned in Valazhin?
He might have lain then also, okay. But at the custom that the one who lain got that aliyah was not, I think that was an American custom. In Europe, they used to hire a person who didn't have much money to take that aliyah. I think part of what I was told, I heard this when I was a young boy, so my memory might be faulty about it, but I think that Reb Chaim insisted that Reb Simcha Zelig take the aliyah, but the money that was given to the poor person should be continued being given to the poor person. So he did not want to deprive the poor person from receiving money that he needed. But at the same time, he didn't want that there should be an impression that there is something wrong with these psukim. So because of that, Reb Chaim insisted as a demonstration of how significant this aliyah is, he insisted that Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger, who was, so to say, the number two person in Brisk, should get the aliyah, because he couldn't take it himself. Now, the brachos and klolos, so in the klolos, emafsikin, we can't divide it up into a number of aliyahs. One person has to get that whole aliyah. So there is a discussion. Why is it that way? Why is it that that part of the Torah cannot be divided up? So Rav Chiya Bar Gamda mentioned a pasuk. He says, this is a pasuk in Tehillim, Musar Hashem b'ni altimas, the admonition of God, my son, do not disdain. What does it mean? In other words, when you divide the aliyah up, so when you divide the aliyah up, in a sense, the person who's getting the aliyah is demonstrating that I can't take any more of this. So it's an expression of disdain. Consequently, they instituted that it should be one aliyah. And the Masechta Sofer mentions the same pasuk, but focuses on the end of the pasuk. Both Rashi and Tosfos bring it down, because the end of the pasuk says, "Val tikatz betochachaso," do not be repelled by his chastising, by God's chastising. Now, but the word tikatz, which means repelled, cuts. Rivka said, "Katzni b'chayai. I'm disgusted with my life." So the word "cuts" it has a double meaning. On one hand, it means to be disgusted, repelled, and that was the simple explanation. But the Masechta Sofer mentions another cuts means to divide up, to make into small pieces. Don't take the tochacha, the musar, the warnings of what will happen if we sin. Don't cut that up. Now we have to understand why not. Why shouldn't we cut it up? Why shouldn't we cut it up? So why shouldn't we cut it up? So they give a number of so I want to suggest an explanation. Now there is a Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi in the time of the Mishnah, and probably into the earlier period of the Gemara, not everybody that got an aliyah made a bracha. The first person who got an aliyah, he said the first bracha. And the last person who got an aliyah, so he said the last bracha. And everybody that got an aliyah in between would be yotze, would fulfill their mitzvah of saying the bracha, with the bracha of the first person and with the bracha of the last person. So, but the Yerushalmi mentions that there are five aliyahs, five parshios in the Torah, that even though it's in the middle of a kriya, when you make an aliyah over those psukim, you have to have the first and last bracha anyway. In other words, the first is az yashir. In other words, the person who gets the aliyah that contains the az yashir, he cannot rely on the bracha of the person who got the aliyah at the beginning of Bishalach, Vayhi Bishalach Paro Asam. He has to make the bracha himself. The two other parshios is the two times that the Aseres HaDibros are mentioned. In other words, we have the Aseres HaDibros in Yisro, and we have the Aseres HaDibros in Veschana. So even though the person who got the aliyah in at the beginning of Parshas Yisro made the bracha, even in the time of the Mishnah, Yerushalmi says, the person who got the Aseres HaDibros could not rely on that person's bracha, but he had to make a bracha himself, a separate bracha. And the same thing isn't true about the Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Veschanan. Even though the person who got the first aliyah in Parshas Veschanan made the bracha when he had the first aliyah, Veschanan al Hashem Be'isahi, nevertheless, the person who gets the Aseres HaDibros has to make his own brachas as well. And the same thing is true about the Tochacha, that the person who gets the Tochacha have to make the same bracha as well. Now, that presents a problem with a later piece of the Gemara, but that's not my point. The question is, what is so significant about all of these things? What is significant that you have to make a separate bracha? These five parshios, what is significant? Now, my uncle, in discussing the custom of standing during Aseres HaDibros, I don't want to go into the whole shiur right now. You know, the Sephardic custom is not to stand for the Aseres HaDibros, not to stand for the az yashir. But the custom of the Ashkenazim is that we stand for the Aseres HaDibros and we stand for the az yashir. There is a Tshuvas HaRambam. The Tshuvas HaRambam is very clear that one should not stand for the Aseres HaDibros. However, that's not the topic for now, but what is the issue that's involved? And my uncle explained the issue involved is when it comes to the Aseres HaDibros, are we reading the Aseres HaDibros because we're learning, we're studying, as the rest of Kriyas HaTorah is? The rest of Kriyas HaTorah is an act of learning Torah. Matter of fact, according to the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted Kriyas HaTorah three times a week because at Mara, they went 3 days without learning Torah, and because of that they rebelled. So the essence of Kriyas HaTorah is Limud HaTorah, is learning Torah. My uncle explains it that actually somewhat differently in one of his shiurim, but the simple explanation is, and even according to my uncle, Ezra instituted that the kriya, the three times a week that we lay, it's a mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. It's based on Limud HaTorah. So in any case, according to everybody, Kriyas HaTorah that we have today has its foundation in the significance of Limud HaTorah and how the Jewish people have to constantly be involved in learning of Torah. My uncle said, you see, that Ezra, we obviously don't do that today, but Ezra instituted that where it served the purpose, they should not just read the Torah, but together with the reading of the Torah, they would say the Targum. And the learning of that contributed to the act of learning that was involved in the reading of the Torah. So, but these five parshios, I think, so my uncle said that, but by the Aseret HaDibros, depending on which Tamei HaMikra you use, it's not just learning Torah, but it's experiencing Maimon Har Sinai. You experience the giving of the Torah. And the Jewish people at Maimon Har Sinai, they were standing. So that's part of the demonstration of the experiencing of Maimon Har Sinai when we stand during the Aseret HaDibros. And I think that we could explain to Yerushalmi on that basis that, in other words, it's to show that there is a difference between the rest of the Kriyas HaTorah and these four parshios. The rest of Kriyas HaTorah is based primarily, has its foundation, not so much in the experiential, but in the study and in the learning. But these five parshios, of course, Limud HaTorah plays a role as well, but also it emphasizes the idea of the experiential. So when we lay the Torah b'tzibur, and the tzibur represents Klal Yisrael, so when it comes to Aseret HaDibros, we're re-experiencing the giving of the Torah at Sinai. And I think we could say the same thing is true about the Oz Yashir, that the Oz Yashir is to experience the reaction of the Hizgalos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the revelation of God at Mount Sinai. And the same thing, I think, could be said about the Tochacha. The purpose of the Tochacha is certainly, according to the Bavli, the Tochacha is, at least according to Rav Chiya Bar Gamda, the purpose of the Tochacha is to experience the purpose of the Tochacha is to experience the Musar Hashem, the chastising, the admonition of God. Now, when it comes to studying, when it comes to learning, so on the contrary, we make stops in order to think it over. Matter of fact, the different parshios in the Torah, the different spaces in the Torah, are identified with Moshe Rabbeinu stopping. In a sense, you could say it represents the learning, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition that was not put into the Torah. So it's learning. However, but by the Tolchacha. It's not just, we're not just studying. We have to experience it. And if you cut it up, you divide it, you're taking away from the experience. You know, today we learn on tapes and whatever it is. But when we're learning together with a Rebbe, sometimes there is more given over. Not in words, but in Mesorah. That's even from the perspective of learning. But certainly when we're dealing with Musar, let's say, a person could suggest, I think it's not even true there, that if you learn the Sefer of a person, you sometimes, at your own pace, whatever it is, learning-wise, you might learn, it might be easier to learn from a certain perspective, certainly not from a complete perspective. But when it comes to getting Musar, if you read a Musar Sefer, it doesn't have the impact and the impression than hearing it from the person, if the person is Roi Lakach, if the person is on the level to give Musar. Not just somebody going up and saying words. So if a person is on a level to give Musar, you can't compare reading a book to hearing it for the person himself, and certainly from his Baruch. So I think that's what Reb Chiya Bar Gamda is saying. Musar Hashem b'ni al timas, the admonition of God, my son, do not disdain, and don't divide it up. Because if you're dividing it up, not only it shows disdain. In other words, we have two reasons the Masech HaSof is giving. One is because it shows disdain, but if you divide it up, you're taking away from the experience. And the Tochacha was meant to be an experience. Now, of course, we also have to understand here, hope to explain it, if that's the case. So when it comes to the experiential, We stand by the Aseret Dibros. We stand by the Oz Yashir, the Minig Ashkenaz. We stand by the Oz Yashir because it's experiential. So how come we don't stand by the Tochacha? Now, from the Bavli, it seems, and Yerushalmi, I'm not so sure, but from the Bavli, it seems very clear that the experiential part is only in the Tochacha. Now, it's not in the Brachos, but so the question is, why is it that we don't stand by the Tochacha? If it's experiential, if it's like the Aseret Dibros, if it's the Musar Hashem, if it's all of that, so why don't we stand by the Tochacha? Now, Rav Shlakish, and the Gemara seems to paskin like Rav Shlakish, although people say that people are machmir, where there's a difference of opinion for the other shita as well. Rav Shlakish says, because we don't make a bracha on peronios, I saw that the Art Scroll describes Perennios as punishment. I would think that it's Perennios is catastrophe, tragedy, whatever it is. So because of that, if we would divide the Aliyah in the middle, so at least one of the brachas, the second bracha and the next Aliyah, and the first bracha of the next Aliyah would be a bracha on the pasuk either immediately before, if it's the last bracha, or the pasuk immediately after the first bracha, which deals with tochacha, which deals with curses, and the so the Rav Shlakish says we don't make a bracha on Perennios. Why? So the Masechet Sofrim says, because God said to the Jewish people, Imo Anochi Betzara, I, in their tzara, in their trouble, I am there together them with their tzara. Then came, therefore, and then it's not proper, She Yavarcheni Banai Alatzaros, that my sons should bless me on my on the tzaros shalahem that they have. Ela Yikra Echad Hakol, so one person should read the whole thing, and they should start a couple psukim beforehand and a couple psukim afterwards. So in that way, the bracha isn't on the tzaros. So now the question is, how are we to understand that? What does it mean? Now, there's a very interesting thought that Reb Chaim Valozhiner expresses. And I think that the Palgemayim, and I've mentioned this before, the Palgemayim in the Reb Chaim Valozhiner could be understood with the thought of the Palgemayim. Reb Chaim Valozhiner, he starts off the Nefesh HaChayim with the expressing the idea, and you get a sense that this is part of the foundation of Kabbalah, the way Reb Chaim Valozhiner introduces it, that to a certain degree, God gave over, of course, God is all powerful, but God allows man. And Reb Chaim Valozhiner emphasizes specifically the Jew to control God's usage of power. He says that when Klal Yisrael does mitzvos, so God intervenes on their behalf. If people do not do mitzvahs, if people do not do the will of God, if people ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then God withdraws. Figuratively, God allows the Jew to tie his hands. Chaim Valozhiner says, the Beis HaMikdash, I mentioned it before Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash Lamala in Kabbalah, there is the idea that just like there is a Beis HaMikdash down here on earth, there's a Beis HaMikdash up in heaven. There's a temple up in heaven. And figuratively, in order for the Beis HaMikdash in heaven to be destroyed, for the Beis HaMikdash on earth to be destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash in heaven has to be destroyed first. And he says that the Beis HaMikdash in heaven was not destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, but the Beis HaMikdash in heaven was destroyed by the Jewish people. because of the sins that they did. But as a result of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed in heaven, that offered a license to Titus and Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the Beis HaMikdash down on earth. In other words, God didn't intervene. God allowed us figuratively to tie his hands. But, as I always mention, there are times in history when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, he's always a Shomer Yisrael, but there are different degrees of Shomer Yisrael. And sometimes God is a roeh. He looks, he sees. He's mapit ben achalonos. He looks out of the window, so to say, of heaven. We have, but all that is due to God empowered man. And that's a Yivrel Akim Asadam, according to Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, Yivrel Akim Asadam, Betzalmo, Betzalmo Akim Baro, so that God created man in his image. He gave him over to a certain degree the powers of controlling the upper worlds, which then control the lower worlds. And the it's very interesting, the Palge Mayim, which is the parish of the Nesivis on Eicha, says, Bipi Elyon, the Pasuk says, Bipi Elyon lo seitze haroos v'hatov, not from the mouth of heaven, not from the decree of God, does the bad in the plural take place, and the tov, the tov. And the question the Palge Mayim asks, why is it when it comes to bad, it talks about it in the plural form, and when it comes to good, it talks about it in the singular form? But he says there are two types of bad. There is the bad that we do, and there is the bad that comes as a result of what we do. The bad that we did, is according to Palge Mayim, of course, there's freedom of will. So God didn't cause us to do bad. We did bad. We chose to do bad. But even the bad that comes as a result of it, the reaction is not caused directly by God, but it comes as a result of the withdrawal of God, the figurative withdrawal of God. We call it Hester Panim, because to us it seems that God is hiding himself because he doesn't intervene. We're used to God intervening. So, when God hides himself, he's not intervening on our behalf. So things begin to fall apart. But Tov, God doesn't cause us to be good. We chose to be good. There's freedom of will. But the result of our being good, the reward, if you want, the mitzvah, goreris mitzvah, that if you walk on the road and you'll see a kansipor, so and you fulfill the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, you're rewarded that you'll get a house and you'll build a makkah around it. You fulfill the mitzvah makkah, et cetera, et cetera. So we get a reward for the mitzvahs that we do. So that is caused by God. So one good is not caused by God. That's the good that we do. But the reward that we get for it, that to a certain degree, the opportunity, the mundane reward that offers us an opportunity to do more mitzvahs, a mitzvah, gereres mitzvah, that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that comes from God. And I think, so, and Reb Chaim Volozhin, it's interesting, this is what the Pal Gei Mayim says, but it's the same thought that Reb Chaim Volozhin is saying. And I think, if we take notice of this another thing that Reb Chaim Volozhin mentions, I think that might be in Shar Beis, I don't remember, Shar Aleph in Shar Beis, Reb Chaim Volozhin says in the Nefesh HaChayim that what is the meaning of bracha? Bracha means tosvas koach. When we make a bracha, we are giving additional strength to God. So God doesn't want his strength to be identified with the fall, with the catastrophes that overtake the Jewish people as a result of their sins. Because God withdraws. As a result of our sins, it withdraws. It looks like God did it, but it's really, really, it's as a result of the withdrawal of God. So this is what, so therefore, Rav Shlakish says, we can't make aliyahs because we don't want the brachas as a sign that this is not the strength of God, as a sign that this is not the strength of God. We don't want the brachas made on those psukim. And it's interesting, there are those that even suggest that if you make brachas, or you make on those psukim, or you make a separate aliyah in those psukim, it's ma'akev in the tochacha. In other words, we always try to make a stop by a good point. But by the tochacha, to make a stop, to make a bracha there, it goes against the very grain of the idea of the tochacha. The idea of the tochacha, chas v'shalom, is the withdrawal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I would think that would be the explanation. I've seen some who say that if you do make stops in the tochacha, you have to read the tochacha over again. So because that goes against the grain of the tochacha. Now, I think, so this is the shita, Rav Shlakish. Now with this, we could answer the other question that we asked. Why is it that if the tochacha is experiential, so why don't we stand, just like we stand by the Aseres HaDibros, just like we stand by Oz Yashir, the Bnei Ashkenaz, why don't we stand by the tochacha also? But I think the answer is very simple. By the tochacha, yes, especially the tochacha at the end of Chumash Vayikra in Bechukosai. There, it talks about Moshe saying over what God said, but the tochacha represents the idea of being separated from God. We have to hear the Musar Hashem, and we hear the Musar Hashem, we hear the Musar of God, but to a certain degree, there is a separation A big separation of space that separates us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there is Gilui Shechina, it's not only that God is talking to us by the Aseres and Dibros, but he's right there. But by the Tochacha, even where it's Musar Hashem, there is no sensing of a closeness to God. Symbolic of that, even though it's we don't stand for the experience of the Tochacha. Now it's very interesting. The Gemara then says this halacha that we don't make stops in the Tochacha. That's only in Bechukosar at the end of Torah's Kahanim. But the Tochacha at the end of Dvarim, in this week's Sedra in Kisavo. So there we could make stops, the Gemara says. And the Gemara asks, why? Why is there a difference? And the Gemara says, the Tochacha in Bechukosai, Halalo B'lashin Yachid. Excuse me, Halalo B'lashin Rabbim. It's Belashin Rabbim. So it's talking about the multitudes of the Jewish people. So the catastrophe is much greater. So therefore, we're more concerned. We don't make stops. And also, Moshe and Pihagvura Amram, and Moshe said it from the mouth of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you look in the pasuk, Moshe is quoting God. I will do this to you. I will do, even though the Palgamayim says not literally, but I will allow this to be done to you. Well, I will be the cause of this being done to you by not interfering. So because it's Moshe is quoting God, and it's Belashon Rabbim, it talks of the multitudes. So it's more it seems like a greater catastrophe. So because of this, it has to be said in a special way. We have to be careful how we say it. It's more Musar Hashem. But the Tochacha at the end of this week, etc., is Belashon Yachid. So the Gemara understands that to mean, and the way the Rishonim explain it, it's talking about different groups, it's talking about different groups of Jews. It's not talking about all the Jewish people. Moshe mepi atzmo amram, and Moshe says, this should happen to you. That should happen to you. He's not quoting God. Now, we have to understand what is the idea behind it. Now, halacha b'lashon yachid, b'lashon tzibur, we understand. It's very interesting. The Ramban says that the Tochacha, even though the Abarbanel disagrees, the Tochacha of Bechukosai, that Tochacha is talking about the first Golus, the first exile. The second Tochacha, the Tochacha of this week's Sedra, that's talking about the second exile, the present exile. And the present exile, the Jews were spread all over the face of the earth. Each group, each area of Jews had its own catastrophe at a different time. But for the most part, the first exile, the Jews were together. They went to exile together for the most part. And in Eretz Yisrael, they all beforehand, they were together. So it was the multitudes of the Jews that were suffering from the catastrophes of the Tochacha. So he says the Ramban says the Tochacha b'chukosai, that's talking about the first exile. The Tochacha in this week's Seder is talking about the present exile. In the present exile, the Jews were all over the earth. Even when Hitler, Yamach Shemo, massacred 6 million Jews. But there were communities that with the help of God, Hitler was not able to reach. So because of that, we do not treat it with the same severity that we treated that the first exile, the first Tochacha. Now, however, there is a little bit of a problem. It's not a real problem, but the problem is that our custom is that we do not make separate aliyahs in both tochachos, even though the Gemara says that in Parshas Kisavo we could divide it up into aliyahs, to separate aliyahs. We do not do it. And the question is, the Gemara says it's allowed. And the Ram says, the Kolosh of a Mishnah Torah, in Ratzel lifts up for him, posek. He could stop. Uchvar no go'am shalom lifts up for him. The minhag developed already not to make stops. Ela echad koreo, son. But one reads it. Now the question is, why? Why is it that way? We could say, depending how you read the Gemara, that the Gemara felt that it's still a good thing to do, but it's not ma'akev. It's not a requirement. It's not a requirement. If you just have so much trouble and you can't stand it, so you can make a stop in the Tochacha, in the Tochacha of Mishnah Torah, in the Tochacha of this week's Sedra. But it's better not to. That's one way to understand it. However, I think there is another possible answer. And especially since the Rambam is uchvor nohavu, the Rambam is emphasizing not the fact that in the early days there was such a custom. The Rambam is emphasizing uchvor. Already, it seems that was something that was not in the early days. So, but he's saying that it was already for a period of time, but not at the very beginning. For Nohagu, the Rambam say, but Afu became Nohagu, nevertheless. He says, "Chvar nahagu." It seems over time, over a certain time period, the custom developed. And I want to understand why, over the time period, did a custom develop. Now, we have to understand, why is there a difference? It says, halal b'lashon yachid. In other words, when they heard the second tochacha, they didn't feel the threat of the tochacha. Yes, it could happen to a certain community. But who says that me, who says that my descendants will be members of that community? How many times do we see catastrophes that took place over one town in Europe? And the people in the other towns didn't feel threatened. I mentioned Rabbeinu Tam made a tainis and Chof Sivan because the Jews were massacred in one town in France. But that tainis was never accepted by Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they thought that was just that town. I don't have to worry so much. Why did Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam understood that what happens in one town can happen in another town as well. We're all susceptible to these pogroms, to these catastrophes. And I think initially, when the Jewish people were divided up in different areas, in different areas, and there were small groups. So each town, each city, each area had its own catastrophe, one by one. And the others felt, we will survive. But when the catastrophes over a period of time affected almost wherever Jews were in those days. Okay, we in America, Jews who ran away after all these catastrophes, after all the communities became affected. So we Jews came to America, we're Baruch Hashem so far. We didn't have the same, not that there weren't incidents of anti-Semitism as there still is, but we didn't have these same catastrophes here in America. But in Europe and in the other countries, all of Europe was affected one by one. So then Moshe Mipi Atzmo Amra. Moshe didn't say in the name of God. What's the idea? What's the difference? Moshe said in his own name, Moshe said in God's name. It's all the same thing. When Moshe didn't say anything himself, Tosa says, Ruach HaKodesh. What is the idea? The difference between in Moshe saying it in God's name and God, Moshe saying in his own name. The difference is the following. The Gra explains what's the difference between Chumash Dvarim and the other Chumashim. The Gra says, and from the Rishon it appears that way. The Baal Tanya explains it differently. But the Gra says, in the first four Chumashim, God talked Migrono Shel Moshe. Chumash Dvarim. The overwhelming majority of the Psukim is Moshe talking as a Navi, as a prophet. It's sort of like Moshe's introducing us to the next generation. It's not God speaking out of the mouth of Moshe, but God giving Moshe a message and Moshe speaking. Moshe speaking as himself, saying over the message of God. But it's not God's words, it's Moshe's words. It's an introduction to Nevi'im. Now, it's very interesting. The Rambam, the Gemara tells us, and the Rambam mentions it, that if a Navi tells us about a good thing that's going to happen, that good thing will certainly happen. And if it doesn't happen, the Navi is a Navi HaShekher, is a false Navi. But if the Navi tells us about a catastrophe, even if the catastrophe is associated with the Jewish people doing sins, but the catastrophe doesn't happen, that can happen, that it won't happen. And I assume that perhaps part of the reason is because it's based on the withdrawal of God. The sin is based on the withdrawal of God, not the doing of God. But whatever it is, even if that's not the explanation, by a Navi, if a Navi tells us about a bad thing that's going to happen, it doesn't necessarily have to happen. But if it's a good thing, it has to happen. Now, in the first chuppah, the question is, does the same thing apply to Moshe or doesn't apply to Moshe? I want to suggest that in the first chuppah, it didn't apply to Moshe. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaber, according to the Gra, mitoch grono shel Moshe. He's talking from the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in Chumash Dvarim, it could be, as the Gra says, not to answer this question, but to explain the Psukim, in Chumash Dvarim, Moshe talks like a Navi. So since in Chumash Dvarim, Moshe talks like a Navi, it could be the rules that apply to the Navi apply to him also. So it could be even where he tells us about a bad thing, it might not necessarily happen. And I think that's what the Jewish people sometimes relied on. Every town has its own had a catastrophe. The other town will have a catastrophe. But I don't have to worry. And it's true that Moshe said it over, but in the Chumash Dvarim, Moshe, of course, that don't anaviim, but it's not like the first four Chumashim. So the rules that apply to Neviim, some of them might have applied to Moshe in the Chumash Dvarim. So just because it was said over, I don't have to think because it happened in one town, it'll happen to me. But after a certain point in Jewish history, all these small catastrophes took place with everybody in different forms and different shapes. Every town faced their own catastrophe. So we realized it's not just them, it's us. We couldn't rely on the fact that Moshe was a Navi in Chumash Dvarim. That Moshe talked like a Navi. We can't rely on that. Because of that, the minhag developed that we don't make the stops. We treat the tochacha of Chumash Dvarim like the tochacha at the end of Chumash Vayikra. And what we have to learn from this is that the Jewish people began, unfortunately, they did not learn the lesson well enough. We have to learn the lesson of history. What happened could happen. And we have to be on constant guard. I mentioned last week, we concluded the Sedra, Va'at by Amalek, Va'at Oyeh V'yageya V'lo Yare Elokim. You were tired and worn out. Sometimes we're not on guard because we have a tired attitude. We have to, the Rosh Hashanah is coming up, the shofar blows out, this is Uri Yishenim. We have to constantly be on guard. We have to learn the lesson of history of what we're going to lay soon in the Hazinu, Schor Yemos Olam, Shninu Bnos Dor V'Dor, Sha'al Avicha V'Yagetcha, Skeinecha V'Yomrelach, I know when I was young how everybody would talk about the catastrophe of Europe, about the Holocaust. I'm not one of those that say, hey, we have to have dynamite in our house. We have to have guns in our house. But we have to be on guard. And I see less and less. People are getting more and more guns, but less and less on guard. We have to be on guard. And we have to know that until Mashiach comes, we're always in danger. And we hope, Be'ezras Hashem, that the Mashiach will come very soon and the danger will be over.
If anyone has any questions, please put it in the chat. Thank you.